Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Maya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, where we serve architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals scale their business to six or seven figures. I also show them how it's possible to do this while living a rich life outside their work, reclaiming time and energy for themselves and their families. Creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run and grow a business. Each podcast episode features a different entrepreneur from the creative industry who shares their journey towards success. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from hearing, stick around to the end of the show to see how you could be a guest in one of our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode. Hello, everybody. I'm really excited to introduce our guest, Violeta Ustayev. She is the founder of Vi Designs. It's a design studio showroom in Boca Raton. She's one of the top interior designers in Boca Raton, and she also has a satellite office in New York City, where she does a lot of commercial work, residential work, and has a construction management business there as well. But I'm really excited to hear about Violeta's transition, because she actually has a bachelor's degree in pre-law and criminal justice and a master's degree in accounting and finance management. But in 2009, she pivoted because that was during the economic crisis, and she started her own Vi Designs. And I want you to hear from her and her story. Welcome to the show, Violeta.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much.
So let's start about you personally. Tell us about your childhood. You've attained so much success in your businesses and having two offices. And she's a single mom of three children, and she can do everything. And this is why I wanted to interview Violeta as well, because she's managing companies in two different cities, has kids. Well, how did you begin? Who was your inspiration? What were you like as a child?
Of course, sure. Well, I was born in Russia, and my family immigrated here in the late 80s. I was about 5 years old when I came. We came to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I grew up there. Had a really nice, fun childhood. Both of my parents are very creative. My dad is a technical designer. He does stuff with textile and clothing. And my mom is a makeup artist and a hairstylist. So, you know, growing up with two very creative people was always a lot of fun. But they're definitely not business people. So that's one thing I kind of, you know, growing up always thought, you know, if anything that I do, I have to just be really good at the business part, you know. So I went to Pennsylvania State University. I received my bachelor's in pre-law. But while I was in college, I started to purchase row homes in Philadelphia. They were very, you know, the prices back then were really good, and you were able to buy a property, flip it within a year, and literally double your investment. Some of the properties I rehabbed, some I renovated and then rented out, because the renting market was also very good. And then in about 2005, when I was finishing up college, I sold everything and decided to get a job in New York and, you know, just really go into the big city. And I got a job in a hedge fund called Fortress Investment Group. And I moved. I sold everything and I moved. But as everyone knows, in 2008, we had the economic crash. So a lot of us in the finance world were laid off. And I was laid off at the end of 2008 with many others. At that point, you know, I knew that I couldn't really go back to the finance world. Nobody was hiring. So my only thing was at that point was to, you know, go back to really what I loved to do, which was real estate, properties, renovations. And, you know, I just always had the eye for it and the skill for it. And I thought, you know what, this is something that I always wanted to do. Even when I worked in the hedge fund, I would literally design and move everything on my desk. And it was a trading floor. So all the guys and everyone would laugh at me and say, this is a trading floor. What are you doing? You know, but I always wanted it to look a certain way around me. So I enjoyed that all the time. So I, at that time, met my ex-husband who owned a water feature design company. I started working with him, helping him with the business, growing his business, and started to design for our clients, you know, their homes, for the different clients that were even commercial. I did a lot of, a lot of commercial spaces. We did some spas, hotels, and things like that. So we worked on those designs, and very quickly, that same year, I got my very first project to do a two-story restaurant in the city. And it was a very quick turnaround. They wanted us to finish it within like 3 months because their rent was super high. You know, I thought, oh my goodness, like I don't have, it's just me, you know, the team that we have does the water feature business. There's nobody here with me. And that's when I really quickly learned that if you want to be successful, you do need a team. You need a team. You have to invest in, you know, the right team for you. And that's what I did right away before even making any money on that project. I invested money into getting the right team, an assistant designer, you know, a project manager, everybody that I needed. I put the team together really quickly, and we were able to execute that job successfully within 3 months. And we did a really good job, and I was very proud of, you know, of that. And that's from that first project, my real first project, I learned, you know, to be a designer, it's great, it's amazing, but you really need to have everything lined up. You can't do it alone if you want to be really big and successful, you know. So we did that, and from there it's, you know, kind of history. And then I just started taking on jobs left and right and growing.
That's amazing. A lot of people start with recipes. I think there's an echo on your end. A lot of people start with residential work or kitchen renovations, but you started with a two-story restaurant in Manhattan. Yes. You already started with a bang. So yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did that go in terms of like finding the contractors and getting all the suppliers lined up for such a short period of time? And may I know the name of the restaurant? Is it still around?
It was called Duet. They have a smaller location in Brooklyn right now. That one, they have closed down. I don't know when, but later on they closed down. And it was a very big restaurant, so it was a lot of overhead for them. So I think it just didn't do well in that location, the type of restaurant that they had. But it was a beautiful place, and you know, it was definitely a project that I felt like, you know, they say everything comes to you when it needs to come to you, and you get nothing that you can't handle, right? So I felt like that was perfect for me because I learned so much from that project in regards to contractors and the different third party, you know, trades. I was lucky there were contractors already working because they started some work. However, we did bring in a couple other people that, you know, I met during the time, you know, working with the water feature business. So we did have subcontractors. But it's definitely a project where I learned a lot. Obviously, there were little mistakes here and there. And I always say make mistakes because you learn from them. So don't try to be perfect because you will never learn. And when you're trying to be perfect, you'll probably be, you know, have more stress and everything will just go wrong. But sometimes mistakes are good and they're healthy and you need to make mistakes. And I tell everybody on my team, it's okay to make a mistake as long as we learn from it, you know? So
I really love that. I love that because a lot of people, I overheard an architect say, I hate employees because they can't get it right. First of all, you need to train your employees so they can get it right. So you need to invest in your people or else you can't grow. Like you said, team, you needed a team to be successful. Yeah. Invest in a team. And you hired your designer, assistant designer, and project manager. See, this is the problem with a lot of traditional, solopreneurs. They're afraid to hire people because, you know, they see it as an expense, not an investment. How did you decide that you wanted to hire right away? Is it from your finance background or your, you know, accounting background? Like, where did this come from?
Well, I'm used to working in a team. You know, I worked on a trading floor, and even when I flipped properties, it wasn't ever just me. I had contractors, subcontractors, my father, who was actually one of my very big role models. You know, he's just hands-on kind of guy. So I knew right away that it's not a one-man type of, you know, show. You can't handle something like that just by yourself. I needed somebody that's going to assist me. I needed somebody that I can, you know, bounce ideas, you know, with. And also I needed somebody that's going to organize us and control all the paperwork and the invoices and things like that. That should not be coming from the, you know, designer or the owner of the company. That always has to come from someone else.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. I have a finance person as well. So some people work with me and they say, I sent you a bill. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'll ask my finance department, because, you know, you can't be everywhere in your business. You got to just focus on your zone of genius.
Yes.
So tell me about like how you manage work and your life with young kids. Like, how do you manage and juggle? Because that's one of the things that women entrepreneurs struggle with.
Of course. So I'm not going to lie and say it's easy. It obviously is not. However, it's very doable. It's very possible. And I think it's all about just having structure. Once you have that structure and the regime, you know, of every day, and your kids know that structure, it's easy to control, and you're able to have, you know, your business and spend time with the children and be a mommy. You know, also having your own business allows me to work on my schedule. So if my kids have an important thing at school, well, mom knows about it. Mom makes sure that I'm clear on my schedule for that. And that's the beauty of being able to be your own, you know, boss and playing around with my schedule when my children do need me. Then again, it's that whole that I keep mentioning, and I'm going to mention it all the time. It's your team. You have the right team. They know how to spot you when you're not there, you know? So if I'm not there, I know that my design assistant or my office manager can, you know, take that role and be there for me. So I am able to be there for my children. And the same thing goes for them. You know, my girls that work here, they're all their mothers as well. So we all understand each other. And when one is out, we fill in. We just are here for each other. And that's how we work, you know. So it makes it easier for us to have, be both roles.
That's great. So what advice would you give to a lot of, creatives, like a lot of my people in my audience? They're all architects. Mm-hmm. And architects and interior designers struggle to make business decisions or even ask for money or collect or value their services or themselves. They always try to undersell their compensation because they're just grateful to have work. So how do you charge for your services? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, without feeling like bad about your rates, things like that. Like, how do you find the confidence to ask for money from your clients?
I think the secret there is what you just said, confidence. You have to be super confident in yourself. You have to be your number one, supporter and believer. When you have that confidence and you know what you're worth, trust me, you'll never have any trouble asking for what, you know, you need to in regards to, you know, money or sending somebody an invoice. I also am a big believer in do not do anything for free, ever. Your time is money. Everybody's time is money. Because remember, when you're doing something and let's say you're not charging for that, you could be somewhere else making money that same exact minute.
That's true.
So always know your worth, your value. Believe in yourself. Be super confident. Like the confidence is key. You said it, you know, like right away. It's the confidence. If you're confident, you just have this, you know, power about you that nobody can ever, you know, question you. So when you give your number out, they know you know what you're worth.
Okay, so this is my question. As a new, for instance, for new designers, because a lot of people who are listening are probably kind of transitioning from employee to business owner. Mm-hmm. How do you build confidence when you don't have a lot of confidence? Like, do you have tricks on how to do that?
Fake it.
What?
I'm serious. Fake it. You got to, you know, in the beginning, you just got to, first of all, you got to look the part, you know, make sure you look presentable. Always smile, never question yourself, and never give your audience, whoever you're speaking to, an option to really think about things. Go in there knowing, thinking that you made a sale already. Don't ask them, oh, if you do decide, you know, or maybe. There's no maybes. There's nothing like that. There is, you know, listen, this is the best thing for you, or you've got to be super confident. It's the words that you use, your body language, your posture, everything. It has to be a full package, but you have to go in there strong, like you already got it. You sold it. And don't let anyone negotiate you down, because the minute they do, that's it. You lost it.
Wow. That's, you know, great and powerful.
And strong. That's what I always say. Just go in there strong. And remember, it's okay to say no to a project. It's okay to say no to a client. Because for every no that you say, you're going to have room for a yes. Okay. We can't take it all, and we shouldn't be taking it all, because not every person, not every client is for you. You have to know your ideal client and go for that. Not every client is for you. Just like not every designer is for a client. Or, so, you know, so you have to know who who belongs to you, basically, you know, who will do well with you. In the beginning, it's very scary to say no to the projects, of course, because you're like, oh my God, I want to grab onto anything. But no, you need to learn how to say no.
Oh my God, that's so powerful. And everyone, especially creatives, just feel grateful to have work. But now everybody seems busy, but I have a question, Violeta. Was there ever a time when your work pipeline was down? And if yes, how did you manage to survive or make ends meet or continue the business or do business development?
There were very small gaps here and there, I would say, and it had to mostly do because of more personal reasons, you know, when I was pregnant. I had to be on bed rest for 3 months with one of my children, you know, towards the end of the pregnancy. So obviously that affected a little bit because it was a full 3 months, and I didn't want to take on too much because I had in my mind, it was all about protecting the pregnancy, you know? So I did have a couple here and there. Then when COVID started, obviously, you know, nobody knew what was going on. So we did have a dry little spell of, like, I would say 3-4 months. And I also was moving the corporate office studio to a different state at that time. So there were. What I can say about those times is use those months to really develop your business, develop your process. Develop your employee handbook. All those things that you don't have time to do when you're busy, do them. They're really helpful. Look at your contracts. Look at all your, you know, procedures. Write everything out. You know, work on all those things, because that's the best time to do it. And that's what I did. I sat there, you know, in bed and kind of working on all of that back end stuff. Clean up your books, you know, just do what you can, you know, clean up even your files on your desktop, you know, anything you can do that will make it easier for you for when you're really busy. Because when you're really busy, you have no time for any of that.
Okay, so you know, so that's such great advice, because a lot of people just panic, but you took that opportunity and used that time to improve your processes and clean up, you know, your you know, do marketing, maybe update the websites or whatever. That's what people do when they have downtime. So my next question for you is, what happens when you have project spikes and you have multiple deadlines, and how do you manage all of that? I'm sure that happens when you're successful. Yeah. How do you manage like people complaining, unhappy clients, unhappy employees, maybe sometimes when they're not unhappy, but they're burnt out sometimes. So how do you manage the whole project surge and spikes when they're busy?
It's not easy, but you always have to keep in mind that, like, my whole thing is that no matter what, the client's always right. I always say, you know, we still want to make sure the client's happy at the end. We won't allow clients to take advantage of us, obviously, but I do have very strict contracts where I am able to fire my client if I want to. You have to be able to protect yourself as well. However, you cannot allow all of that to really affect your stress and also to have stressful employees. So if you do see that they're being burnt out, definitely take the time to show them how much you appreciate them by, you know, taking them to a nice dinner or offering, you know, just really be personable with them and really look at them as, you know, someone that does care about your company and you don't want them to burn out, because it's very easy to burn out, you know, have that in this line of business because there's so many moving parts and there's a lot of people that are coming at you, vendors, clients. I mean, we have contractors, we have subcontractors, we have everything. And remember, for us, we're always in the middle of a husband and wife or a couple or a partner.
Yes.
It's very difficult because we have to hear everything and we become like therapists and best friends or not, or then one wants us to be more on their side than the other. It's very difficult. And you know what? It does stress you out a lot because you obviously don't want to take one side over the other. And it's a lot. It really is. But you can't allow that to get to you. At the end of the day, you have to know how to shut it all off. When you come home, shut that all off. Forget about it. Also, your clients need to understand that you are human. You have a family. You have a life. Make sure you're very strict with your hours. I work from, let's say, 10 to 5, and I will not reply to any, you know, emails or text messages. If they know that in advance, you will not hear from them. And if they do text, do not reply, because the minute you reply, that means you're saying it's okay for them to text you after your office hours.
Okay? You know, that's right about, first of all, what you said about working in a residential and couples. Because mm-hmm. I used to work in Greenwich, Connecticut as a, you know, architecture designer for a high-end firm. And uh-huh. I get caught in between and they ended up in divorce. And that's real. You know, it happens. It's, you know, my husband is like, is that for real? I'm like, yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Number two, I really like what you said about setting boundaries and making sure that your client knows that you're not on call 24/7. This is a way of valuing yourself too, that you have your own life. I also like that you know, it's everyone burns out because I have a lot of employees, they burn out because they care about the business. They take charge. They want to take ownership of the company. It's not like we're slave drivers. They themselves want to do it, but it's good to acknowledge them, give them breaks, happy hours, and things like that. I think that's a really good way of empowering your employees and making them happy. So was there ever an instance, I'm just curious, because I belong to a lot of Facebook groups with women architect firm owners. They always complain about their clients. And has there ever a time when you had a very, very unhappy client, but then you turned it around and they became your biggest fans?
For sure. Several times, actually. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I realized that if you really speak to them and explain to them that you're also very human like they are, and that, you know what, you do sometimes make mistakes just like they will. And you also have family or you have personal life. And, you know, when you try to, when you explain things to them like that and you make it more personable, that you're not just somebody that they hired, I think they understand you better.
So be authentic and real.
Be very authentic. I'm very authentic with mine. You know, they know me. They know. You know, I have how many kids I have and this and that. I don't go too deep into my personal life. However, I do make sure that they understand I'm also human like them. And then if you find different things that you can, you know, relate with them on, they also very appreciative of that. And they look at you a little differently. So for example, if there's a mom and she has, let's say, a child who, you know, misbehaves and he drives her crazy, you know, because you, and if you have the same situation, I'm not saying make one up, but just find ways to relate to them. You know, or if it's a male client, for example, and he likes a certain sport and I see that, I'm like, oh, and if it's one that I actually also like or a team, I'm like, oh, so-and-so, you know, and I'll talk to him about it. He loves that because he can relate to, like, there's something we can talk about that's not just business.
You know? Like I did a blog article about why it's important to have hobbies. Mm-hmm. And my kids make fun of me because one day I'm scrapbooking and then I'm doing triathlon and then I'm golfing and then I'm doing photography. And they're like, Mom, why can't you just stick to one sport? Why do you have so many hobbies? And I'm like, you know what? Being a serial hobbyist is actually good for business. Like one client I met because we bonded over triathlon because I used to do triathlon. One client over golf because during COVID, I played golf. And then another one because I used to scrapbook. I don't want to say this out in public, but I used to scrapbook. And then that became, you know, the wife and I became close and I got jobs from that. So, you know, it's not all about business. You kind of, you know, engage with your clients based on common interests. So I completely understand.
Yeah.
So it seems, Violetta, that you got, you know, most of everything figured out. Like, I love everything that I've heard. Like, I learned so much already in the last 20 minutes that we've talked. I have a question for you. What,
sure.
And this is my favorite. What is your favorite mistake that turned into a blessing?
Favorite mistake that turned into a blessing.
Or maybe the biggest mistake. That you felt like, oh my God, this is the worst. And then it was like, oh, you know.
Jesus. I mean, we have little tiny things here and there, but, you know, I mean, they're always, I think every mistake is a blessing at the end, to be honest with you, because I always say if there's a lesson learned, then it's a blessing. Something really big or major, I can't really think of because I don't know, we've always found ways to, you know, fix or find a solution. I'm big on finding a solution to almost everything. But I mean, I'm like, the only thing I could think of, like, aside from my marriage to my ex-husband, I mean,
well, that could be a mistake, but turn into a blessing.
It is.
It always is that way.
I mean, that's the only one that I could really think of in my life.
I was waiting for you to say that.
I didn't know. I was like, I think that's like the only one, like that part was a mistake, but obviously my blessings, I have three of them. And they're just, you know, I would do that over and over again, you know,
That's
the three of them, you know. So that's definitely.
Well, it got you to your design jobs.
It did.
So maybe that's the answer, like, because you married the guy, it propelled your design business.
It did. I know. And, you know, it's like I said, we're always, I think I said this earlier, right? Everything happens for a reason, and God doesn't really give you anything that you can't handle, right?
Right.
So I'm a big believer in that. And yeah, so I think that would probably be my, you know, just sitting here like thinking, should I say it? Should I not?
I know, right? Like, well, is he going to hear it?
That's funny. He probably knows though.
Yeah. Or else you'll still be married.
Exactly, right.
Well, what else? I have so many other questions I want to ask you. Is there anything? Oh, I want to talk about business development. Like, a lot of people don't like to sell services. Like, did you ever have to do that? Like, how do you approach business development? Do you use social media, word of mouth? Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, so most of our clients are all either, you know, referrals, word of mouth. Lately, obviously, everybody knows, you know, social media is a big thing. That's why I haven't really updated my website, you know, lately, but we will be shortly. But we use a lot of Instagram. I'm not, one thing, you know, that I could say that I do want to kind of start doing a little more is I have to photograph more of my projects, because what happens is we're always busy working, we're in and out quick. I don't have time to get a professional photographer there. I have pictures on my iPhone and I'm not the best with tech. So I'm like, you know, not so good with those things. And I feel like that's something that you definitely need to do. If you have a business, definitely take advantage of the social media. You have a bigger audience and you can control your audience that way too. And you get to see who actually is on there, looks at, you know, there's so many things you could do, and you have control over your content, and your content changes daily if you want, or several times a day, you know, so you have a lot more of a better reach, I think. But definitely it's all about reputation. That's why I say your client, you know, is always kind of like, you have to understand your client, no matter what, is right at the end of the day. They're the ones paying you. So no matter what, you got to keep them happy. Yes, don't let them walk all over you, but there's a way that you can go about it, just speaking to them and explaining to them your process. This is why I make sure all your contracts are all very, like all your T's are, you know, crossed, or all your I's are dotted. Like everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be spelled out. Make sure your contracts are not very legal, like meaning super, like nobody understands what it says.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But Violetta, I have a question. Another question.
Yeah.
The customer is always right. What if they're really rich, but they're super tacky?
Yeah. I mean,
like how do you manage that? Like they may have billions, but they want gold lions in the front or whatever. Like,
well, that's the client that, well, first of all, obviously you interview your client prior to, right? They're not just interviewing us. I also interview my client because I want to make sure this project is right for us. It's a relationship we're going to be in. Some projects, you know, we're with those clients for a year or more. So you're getting into a relationship. You want to interview and make sure that this person is right for you as well. So if they told me in the interview, or if I, you know, because I do ask a lot of questions and I want to see what they have or what style they are, if I could tell, if I could see that they're going to want, you know, gold lions, well, guess what? I'm going to let them know that we're not the right firm for your, you know, project. Maybe I can recommend someone else for you. You know, I think you have an amazing, you know, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Unless they come to you and they say, you know what? I love gold lions, but I don't want any of that. I'm hiring you as the professional to do what you want to do. Then it's a different story. But if you could tell that this person is all into all this gold and Venetian, whatever, you know, and it's not what you do, you need to know how to be honest to yourself and to your client and let them know.
But what if it's too late? Sometimes, like a lot of times in residential work, the husband is the front facing. And then when you sign the contract, the wife comes in and then, like, you know.
That's why, again, the processes and your procedures, make sure they're on lockdown so that you learn all these things prior to. Very important that you have a whole procedure, everything is outlined, and you have a way to find all of this out. You know, so we do consultations. I will never take a project on unless I do a consultation first. My consultations are paid consultations.
That's good.
That's paid, how you
guys,
also know
paid, nothing for free.
Yes. Yeah. That's how you also know this is somebody who's serious and somebody who's willing to pay for your services. Okay. If they don't want a free consultation, most likely they will not understand you when you give them your design fee. They'll say, what are you going to give me? There's nothing. You're not bringing me a sofa for that fee.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to, you know, so that's how I know. I go to my consultations. I get to see where they live, how they are. If there is no home yet, you know, I get to meet with them, see how they're dressed and learn about them, speak to them. And there's so many different things you can do, you know, to interview them and to really understand your client. Remember, it's not just them interviewing you, you're interviewing them as well.
So now that we're almost at the end of our podcast, where do you see your firm in 3 years?
Yes. We're looking to grow. I mean, we're talking about a couple other divisions, you know, that we would like to see happen within our firm. Expand for sure, hire some more people. And recently we just launched a new division where we're acting as brokers, and we have other interior designers who are solo, who don't want the, you know, headache and the overhead that a business requires. They want the backup. They want a team behind them, but they want their own clients. They want to be their own designer. So we have a new thing that we started, and we just signed on a couple of designers in the past couple of weeks from different states.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So they work as our, you know, they're our freelance designers and they're independent contractors. And we work out a commission percentage. It's a whole contract, and you know, everybody's happy at the end. We do a lot of the procuring for them, so they don't have to worry about, you know, we use all of our vendors, all of our discounts, you know, we share everything with them. They also get percentages of that. And then we are here to help them when they need to, because there's a lot of new designers, let's say, that started. They need some help, or when the architect or the developer asks certain questions, they need help. And that's where we come in as the team, and we are there to help. We have the support, and we also have all of the insurances that they would need, and all of the, you know, the other paper, the pretty papers and licenses and all that stuff that sometimes they need. So we have that also under our umbrella. And that's been going well. So we're looking to expand that part. And then also hopefully manage some of our properties, because a lot of our clients have the homes that we work on are their second homes or their vacation homes. And so we are managing those properties when they're not in them, you know, getting them, doing like more of like a full service VIP kind of treatment, you know, making sure the place is clean for them when they return, if anything needs to be rehabbed or fixed or changed out, making sure everything's done, dry cleaning.
Oh my God, you're such an entrepreneur. I love it.
Well, you know what, when you enjoy what you're doing, you always want to expand more. You enjoy it. You enjoy the process. It's just, for us, it's not just a business, you know, it becomes your everything. It's like, it's so much fun, but we have a lot of fun. I always say work hard, but play harder. That's what we do here.
Oh my God. This is such an inspiration that you're able to pivot multiple times in the last 15 years. Congratulations.
And
I'm so glad that, you know, you're in the podcast. Where can our audience find you? Can you give us your social media?
Sure. On Instagram, we are Vi Designs with an S. So it's VIDESIGNS. Facebook, I believe we're the same. Our company is called Vi Design, but at the time when I was opening the company, I could not get a URL, you know, with a Vi Design. Somebody has it. I know who, but but yeah, so you could find us anywhere. I think on your social media, it's mostly Vi Designs with an S, or our website, vi-designs.com. And we have a retail location in Boca Raton, Florida, where we sell wallpaper, textiles, home fragrances, and we have samples of almost every, I think, stone that you can, you know, and we have a lot of stone. We partnered up with a couple stone companies. So we have some stone and some countertops and things like that. And yeah, so, you know, we're excited. This is a new thing for us here in South Florida, and we're excited. We're super busy. And so there's a lot of excitement coming soon.
So I think 2022 is going to be a breakthrough year for you and for everyone in the industry.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so it is a pleasure.
If we could get that furniture here, you know.
Yeah, exactly, right after 6 months on the porch.
Oh my God. That's the one big obstacle right now. But
anyway, Violetta, it was a pleasure having you. And I hope, I look forward to meeting you in the future.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @Aya_ArchitectMyLife. That's Aya, A-Y-A, _ArchitectMyLife. And for women firm owners, I invite you to join the Architect My Life private Facebook group. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access podcasts. And if you think you have something to add to the conversation through your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Maybe you're not in a position to share your success story yet. That's okay. Take your business to the next level with our coaching and online courses. Get everything you need at architectmylife.com. Remember, there is a way to manage it all so you can achieve more. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening.